podcast audience, season 3, episode 2. Mother's Day is coming around the corner, and it may be a fun event for some people, and for others, it might be a very sad reminder. For me, it's a sad reminder. For those who still have their mothers around and stuff like that, and you guys are on good terms, awesome. I hope you guys get to celebrate something really cool and you do something fun. But I have a spooky story to tell you guys about Mother's Day from 2 years ago. So, Tales from Fulton Street in Boston, here in the North End. So once upon a time, I was friends with a little jerk, and he made himself out to be this really cool person, but in turn, and beneath it all, he was a narcissistic prick. And I will tell you why he got all those names from me. And you all know that I do not call anybody names that they have not heard in their face yet at all. I will say it to them, and that's exactly what's going to be their name from now on. And they have to absolutely earn that. I don't just call somebody names for no reason. You're going to hear the story that led up to them getting that name. So once upon a time, I befriended a jerk at the beginning of the pandemic, before we knew just how bad it was going to be and just how many lives it was going to end or ruin permanently. Also, how many families and livelihoods it would interrupt. So, fasting forward, after what happened in March happened to my mom, and she's no longer with us, said individual saw that it was open season to jump down and pretend to be this really cool, caring person. But because my mind was clouded with grief and mourning, it was open season for a narcissist to take advantage of somebody who normally would catch on to the bullshit and would literally send them on their way before they even left their house to come near me. Yeah, I was very, very, very aware of my surroundings and the type of people who played these little games. But when my mother passed away, I was literally mush. I was not all together. I was not okay. I was very messed up for a very long time. And just recently, I began to pull myself together 3 years later. Starting, you know, by getting myself together, meaning I continued on my weight loss journey. I started facilitating a group called Food and Exercise as Medicine through a program ran by the Department of Mental Health Services in Massachusetts. And it's a peer support network. And I took a training to be able to facilitate the group. That's how in-depth things got with getting myself back on track. And then 7 months ago, I had gastric sleeve surgery, medical portion control, medically restricted stomach, which means they take out 80% of your stomach. That's one of the procedures I chose to go with. The docs said I would have been fine with either one, either the bypass or the sleeve, due to my medical situation. I got so serious about my health that I was able to reverse pre-diabetes, get it off of me, and I no longer have pre-diabetes anymore, and I don't have any cholesterol problems. But anyways, you guys heard this already, so I feel like a broken record. So yes, I took my health seriously, and I got things in order the way it needed to go. And I'm trying so hard to keep it in line, but I can't be perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. I can do the best I can. I still have food noise when it comes to like chocolate. Chocolate is my downfall. That I work with my therapist on that. There is a therapist for food out there, in case you don't know. It's called a behavioral psychologist for weight loss. So Jerk decided, oh great, she's down, her guard is up, she's not happy, her guard is down because she's really sad and depressed. Let's take advantage. And I wasn't aware, like I said, there was clouds in the way and I couldn't see through stuff the way that I normally would have. So I couldn't see the lighthouse through the clouds to find my way through just yet, metaphorically speaking. So he came around and was offering to help me out and trying to do all kinds of kind things, and me not really thinking too much about it. I was like, fine, I accept the help. I accept this. I accept that. But I was not aware of what I was allowing to enter into my space, my circle, my mental well-being. And so as things go on and I moved from one apartment to another, he started revealing what he really was like, truthfully, because he thought that when I signed that dotted line to be a part of his organization, that he can talk to me like he lost his freaking mind. So fast forward, after having had to check him through the camera screen, double check him for that, because he lost his mind. I had to look all over the place to see who the hell he was talking to, because it sure the hell was not the hell me. That's for damn sure. I looked all over, left, right, up and down, in my pockets. He wasn't talking to me with that crazy tone. So I hung up the phone and I blocked his number real quick. And then shortly after, I got a whole new phone number. So he really was not going to have access to me ever again. Never. Let's make sure of that. So by that time, the clouds began to clear away and my grieving started to go down a little bit. It wasn't so heavy, but it was definitely a very prominent thing. Mother's Day came around that time of 2022, and I mentioned online or something like that along the lines of, oh, it would be nice to be able to go and put some flowers at my mom's gravesite for Mother's Day. And he once again slid in the DMs talking about some, oh, well, I could offer to pick you up and drop you off and bring you back home. And I was like, all right. In the back of my mind, I had this weird twinge of don't trust him that was tickling my gut. And it was very, very heavy. So I went into the store and I bought some flowers. And I think it was these really pretty blue flowers, these like sanguine blue flowers that I have never seen before. And I bought them. It wasn't my first time buying them, but they were very pretty and they stood out. And so they were blue roses, like navy blue roses that I bought, and also some sky blue roses that I brought to put at my mom's gravesite, because why not? They were really pretty. So I go and I get them, and the day comes for me to go to put the flowers for her grave. And here he comes. I'm thinking he's not going to show up. So I'm getting ready to call Lyft, because that was my plan. My plan was to take Lyft over there and then take Lyft back. Yeah, she was buried like an hour away from where I live. And so I figured, meh, what's the big deal? I'm only doing that, what, twice a year? Either like on her birthday and Mother's Day. I think I went to go put some for her birthday this year. I'm not sure, because a few days later, I had to have my gastric sleeve. So I feel like I went to go put flowers for her in September already. May have taken the bus. I don't remember what I did, but I know I did. I believe I did. However, we're on our way to the cemetery, and he waits until we get on the highway. And then he wants to start an argument with me. He's trying to argue with me over the phone. I mean, not over the phone. In the car. He's driving, and I'm the passenger, and he's trying to argue with me about some dumb shit. Like, he's in his own head. Now, let's give some context to why he's like this. Part of the reason why he's like this. No offense to anybody who has bipolar disorder or who is living with neurodivergence, but he has both of those, and he uses the two of those as a crutch to cover up for why he's been an asshole to people. And I don't buy it. I see right through that, and I see his personality for what it is. He literally was a piece of shit in the end. Literally just looking for someone to bully. And he thought I was the one, and then he will soon find out. So continuing on our way to the cemetery on the highway, and I'm really, really, really considering having him pull over, let me out on the highway, and I would just walk the rest of the way off the highway and call a Lyft to finish my ride. I was not interested in this. I was going to slam his head against his wheel, and we both fucking crashed the car together. That's the game he was into. That's what he was going to find out. That's the surprise he was in for. Keep on playing with someone who's grieving and mourning, and you're playing in their face like that. So I don't entertain the arguing. I absolutely do not. It takes every bit of universal strength in me to not backhand him. Like, literally leave the imprint of my hand on the side of his head. All of the universal energy to not do that. Because then we would both swerve and crash. And that's probably what he was trying to incite. He was trying to incite a fight in the car. He wanted an argument. He was desperate. He was thirsty. He drove an hour away just to come argue with me. I was not interested. I wasn't going to play any games. Either we get out on the side of the car, on the side of the highway, and we fight, or I leave my handprint on the side of his skull. Pissed me off. So we finally get over there to the cemetery, and I find my mother's grave plot because I had a mobility trainer show me how to get to her gravesite and back to the entrance of the cemetery. No matter how large the cemetery grew, I will always find out how to get there. Thanks to my mobility teacher. She's the bomb. If you ever go blind, you better hope you get her for a teacher, and you better hope she doesn't retire. So, with that being said, I spend my 15, 20 minutes by the grave plot, you know, just there, just being there and looking at how weird it looks to look at the spot where somebody who once used to be around you is now under the ground for good. And then we get in the car and we leave. And I wanted it to be a quiet ride. He thinks it was awkward, so he decides he wants to start digging in for the arguing again. He wants to start digging it in. Let me tell you, the gust of wind that started to kick once he came back around me and we got ready to go to the car. Suddenly there was a lot of dust and dirt wafting up in his face, his direction. And it was going aggressively in his face. It was not getting me, but it was getting him. A lot of dirt was flying at his face, and it just kept swaddling him. And he didn't like it. So we got in the car. And then the wind started getting more aggressive towards his side of the car. And I'm like, I don't want to say what I think it is, but I know it. I felt it in my stomach that that's what I think it is, which was confirming to me that he absolutely did not have good intentions. It wasn't his neurodivergence. It was not his bipolar disorder. He literally was just a bad person. A bad person with bad intentions. He chose the wrong person to play with. I was already pretty mad. Starting to argue with me again. And I said the best thing for me to do is literally to just slap the cultural appropriation out of him. Slap it directly out of his mouth. Once again, it took several decades, several centuries of all the universal energy to keep me from putting my hands on this guy in the cemetery parking lot. He was making me mad. He was making me very angry to the point where I really wanted to just get out of the car and wait for the bus. I'd rather wait in the bus area for the bus to come, or take a Lyft or Uber back to my house, because he wasn't going to sit here and play with me. Kept trying really hard to argue. It was a game for him. Something he loved to do to people that were down. He loved to mess with them. So we get to the front of my house, and that gust of wind continues to follow us all the way from the cemetery to the front of my building. And when I go to open the car door, I hadn't even finished opening the door. The wind literally just yanks the door handle out of my hand, and it yanks the door wide open. And the wind is just paddling the crap out of the car. I get out of the car. The wind does not touch me. And as soon as I move away enough from the door for it to not touch me, the door just slams so hard. It was like someone or multiple people took that door with all of their hands and all of their strength and jammed it shut so hard. That little boy came out from the other side of his car, ran over to the side where I was on, and saw the door literally smashed in. I hadn't even touched it. He was trying to pull on it. He was pulling. It ain't open. And the wind continues to throw dirt from all kinds of directions in his face. So I go away. I don't turn around. And I just keep it moving. I walk. I leave. And in the back of my mind, I say to myself, I don't ever want to see him ever again. I don't want to ever be in the same space with him ever again. So whatever that was, make sure that every time he thinks about even being around me ever again for what he did, and with all that disrespectfulness that he did on purpose, intentionally, make it so every time he even thinks about coming to hang out with me, that his car doors stay jammed closed. And shortly after, we had a mutual friend who tells me that this jerk had some car issues where his car was going somewhere and it lost control and he jammed his car up even worse. And it had to get towed away, and he had to end up getting a whole new car. Well, there goes the tales from Fulton Street. If somebody is going through something and you think it's funny to make jokes and be disrespectful, don't even. Leave them alone. Stay out of their face. Work on yourself and find out why you're an asshole instead.
Stop button.